once the committee decides to go through the whole process, and then they decide on what date they want the person to appear, and then that is the date the person will be required to appear. In terms of a failure to respond to the summons, the Act in Section 17 sets out the offence. It's an offence for a person to fail to appear when summoned to do so. And in terms of 17.1, you are liable for a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 12 months, or to both a fine and imprisonment. So it's a very serious offence for a person to fail to appear when summoned to do so by Parliament. So those are the two questions.
Perhaps if I were to ask a direct question, this letter shall have to be written to the responsible people within the department. I would imagine here that shall be the minister and the director general as being the accounting officer. Upon receipt of such, what time frames are we to talk about? Can we talk about?
Chairperson, I wouldn't necessarily specify a time frame, but if the committee is under the impression that a week or 2 weeks is sufficient, considering that you were informed that the document was already produced, so if the committee thinks 7 days is sufficient in the circumstances, because there is apparently a letter that exists, so it shouldn't be too difficult for the relevant people to transmit that to the committee, then maybe 7 days would be reasonable in the circumstances, but I think that would be have to be at the discretion of the committee, but it must be reasonable in the circumstances.
There be no hand up. I have a proposal for the committee to my proposal would be that by Friday we should be able, having heard this letter being submitted to the department later today, by Friday we should be able to get a response from the department, as in coming Friday, so to speak. That shall be my proposal. Any takers? Dr. Hendra?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd support that proposal.
Any objection? No objection. Okay. That shall be the way we deal with the matter, taking it forward. Any comments from the department?
Jefferson? No, the department doesn't have a comment at this stage. Safe to say that we respect and will abide by the decision of the committee.
Okay, thanks for that. thanks, Ms. Isaac, on that point with the assistance given by the legal services. The quick comment I really would wish to make is that when we do not work together, we shall be having no other option but to take the route we are taking. The matters are serious that we are dealing with. They have everything to do with improving and bettering the lives of our people for the better. That's the premise we move from. Cut across all political lines. We being the representatives of those people out there, we are performing our role as members of parliament, as the representatives of the people out there. We would really wish and impress upon the department not to get us into that direction going forward. Precisely because it gets us to waste this much time that we have wasted, unnecessarily so. Having said those few words, I shall then propose that we move forward and deal with the issues at hand. that is of having to get to receive a proof from the department on blue and green drop report. Okay, thanks, by all means.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Anil Singh. I'm the Deputy Director General for Policy and Regulation Department. And this program of the Blue Drop and Green Drop Certification is a flagship program of the department. And we're happy to come to present to the department. I'll just introduce my team very quickly. On my left is Lerato Mokwena. She is the Chief Director for Water Services Regulation. The lady next door is Nokolo Nsapai. She is the director that deals with Blue Drop. And the gentleman there is Solomon Makate. He's the acting director that deals with the Green Drop. So I will go through the some background and context to these reports, and then my colleagues will actually take us through the presentation. So this is not new information. We are presenting a report that we were busy with, the 2014-2015, and the department takes this program as an incentive-based flagship program for regulation of the water quality and the wastewater quality. And in doing that, we have over the years experienced some trends, some patterns, etc., which we will go into the presentation. And the committee has received this information or has received the background information about these programs, etc. Ultimately, we're looking at the Blue Drop and Green Drop program is a helicopter view. After we do the assessment, we get a helicopter view of the state of the systems for the wastewater and for the potable water. We do not assess individual municipalities. We assess the systems which are managed through that. So one of the key areas that we've reflected on over the years is the release of the report, or in some cases the non-release of the report. And when Minister Mulewa was our minister in 2012, her view was that we should take this report to cabinet, because if it's far-reaching implications for local government, for other departments, etc. And there was a view that should be done. Subsequently, we have taken the view to release the report in the public domain, but first we release the reports to each individual municipality, and we ask them to comment on the report and give us an improvement plan or a turnaround plan on how they're going to deal with their wastewater treatment works and the water treatment works. And that's an ongoing engagement with the municipalities. And then they participate in the program. They upload the data, they upload the information, the teams go out there, and then we deal with it. We have been focusing on the poorer performing municipalities. In an incentive context, it means that we know, or we will probably be able to say with certainty, which municipalities or which metros will perform better because they have greater capacity and capability. But for us, it is to target those ones that have no capacity. And we've had discussions with several metros that are willing to assist the smaller district municipalities and local municipalities to improve their status. And also the department will support them in terms of that. That is on the release of the report. So going forward, we will be releasing the reports. It wouldn't necessitate a PIA application or some kind of legal steps, because the document is available. In fact, the document was uploaded onto the department's database. But we have to reflect on now, going forward, how do we keep this program? It's quite a world-class program. It's benchmarked in countries like Japan. We've sent our people for training there and all of that. So this program is a very, very critical program of the department, whereby we just don't, as the regulator, we just don't use the stick, but we use a carrot and stick approach to encourage compliance by the municipalities. So then I want to then, Chairperson, with your permission, to let the colleagues hone in specifically on the performance for 2014 and what are the challenges they've expressed. You'll see that this information is technical information, but the colleagues will try to break it down for the level of understanding for all of us to be able to appreciate. But what we will appreciate after these presentations and when we engage on is how can we improve? How can we support those municipalities to improve? But as the chairperson said, the main focus must be the improvement of the quality of the lives in terms of service delivery. So I'll hand over to Knox, who will take us through the... I take it that members have got copies of all the presentation? Okay. If anyone doesn't have a copy, then we can let them have one now. Okay. Then I'll hand over Chairperson to Knox to take us through her part of the presentation, after which we will have Solomon Makate to deal with this. I've asked them to keep it sharp and focused and not to go through each individual bullet point and each individual slide, but rather talk to the slides because you had the benefit of reading it, so that we have a more detailed engagement after the presentations. Thank you, Jefferson.
They call you Knox.
No, no call.
They call you Knox.
They call you Knox.
Morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I won't talk to the background because I believe the DDG has already spoken. I'm talking about the Blue Block Report 2014. I'll start on slide 4. Slide 3, I won't talk to it because the DDG has already spoken to it. In terms of the challenges that came out of the report, it was clear that there were insufficient skills in terms of process controllers to manage water treatment plants and to process our drinking water. Also, the issue of monitoring was identified as one of the challenges with respect to the inconsistencies and non-adherence to the monitoring program, as well as the issue of data uploading on the Blue Drop system. The issue of the correct monitoring talks to the fact that the water services authorities register their monitoring program on the Blue Drop system, and if they don't adhere to that monitoring program, the system indicates that data has not been loaded, even though sometimes you find that the data has been loaded, but it has been loaded under an incorrect monitoring program. Now, thirdly, we find that water services authorities are not always prepared for adverse incidents, and the issue of infrastructure investment has also been a key challenge. In terms of the criteria that was used with respect to the actual assessment, number one, it's the water safety planning. The water safety planning process looks at what is happening in the catchment, whether you have the necessary ability or your treatment plant has the necessary capability to treat water to expected quality. So that's why it is mainly focusing on risk management and dealing with incidents. Process management and control talks to the skills at the plant, whether you have the essential skills that are necessary to run your plant. Drinking water quality, is something that we are all aware of in terms of the standards that have been set to ensure that every citizen has access to water that is safe and of good quality. management accountability and local regulation. It talks to the management commitment within the Water Services Authority. And it also includes the issue of contractual management. Whether you have a program for your procurement processes, do you have that program that says, at this particular point in time, I need to source particular chemicals, and that you are actually monitoring? And also the issue of submission of data, whether you're paying your laboratories that are doing the assessment, the analysis for you, so that they can load the data on the system. Asset management is like your own car. You know that in terms of your car, you have to buy it, and at a particular point, I mean, you have to service it, and at a particular point, you need to replace some parts. So that is important in terms of running treatment plans. Whether you have an asset register that says at this point in time you need to service this particular part, and you need to replace this particular part. So that is that talks to that. And you find that if you've got good asset management practices, you can extend the lifespan of your the lifespan of your equipment. And it also looks to the issue of design capacity versus operational capacity. There are instances whereby we know the situation in the country whereby the urban areas are sometimes overpopulated. If that is not the correct word, you'll have to pardon me. Then you find that the design capacity of a particular treatment plant the design capacity is limited, and the operational capacity exceeds the design capacity of that plant, and it poses challenges. And the last criteria that was introduced in 2014 was the water use efficiency, which talks to the whether you know what is coming in your plant in terms of the volume that you're abstracting, and whether there is no water loss within the system itself. So that is the overall criteria. Now let's talk to the national trends. The program was started in 2009. And in 2014, there was, however, a decrease in the number of in the national blue drop score, which decreased by 8% from 87.6% to 79.6%. The number of water services authorities assessed remained constant, whilst the number of systems increased from 931 to 1036. The number of systems that attained blue drop status was 44, which was which decreased from 98. And major contributory factors to this decrease: one was the new criteria that was introduced, which is the no drop. Secondly, there was a poor risk management practices within the Water Services Authority, non-adherence to the monitoring programs, as well as the issue of data submission. Provincial performance. In terms of provincial performance, we found that Gauteng was 92%. However, that 92%, it was a decrease from 98% in 2012. And 9 systems attained blue drop status in Gauteng. Western Cape came in as the second best performer, with a decrease from 94% in 2012, with 8 systems receiving blue drop status. KwaZulu-Natal, there was a decrease in terms of the blue drop score from 92% to 86% in 2014. And 8 systems received blue drop status. Free State, there was a decrease from 82% to 75%, with 6 systems receiving blue drop status or achieving blue drop status. Eastern Cape, there was a 10% decrease from 82% to 72%,
with no system attaining good drop status. However, there were three systems that there was improvement in three water services authorities in the Eastern Cape. Mpumalanga, there was an increase in terms of the provincial score from 60.9% in 2012 to 69% in 2014, with nine systems attaining blue drop status. In the Northern Cape, there were no changes in terms of the average blue drop score. However, there were two systems that attained blue drop status. In the Northwest Province, there was a decline from 79% to 63%, with one system attaining blue drop status. And in Limpopo, there was a decline from 79% to 62%, with one system attaining blue drop status. You'll find that, Honorable Chair, I've already covered slides up to slide 18. Now, if we are to go to slide 19 talks to blue drop risk rating. This is the the main focus of blue drop risk rating talks to water safety planning, your skills at the plant, as well as your water quality compliance. And these are critical elements in terms of risk management, which we believe that the water services authorities need to take a good strategic decision with respect to that. Now, the next slide talks to the report with respect to the blue drop risk rating. There was an improvement in terms of blue drop risk rating in 2014, with the number of critical systems in 2012 were 234, and in 2014 the number of critical systems went down to 26. And also the number of systems in high risk category decreased from 580 to 249, whilst the number of systems in low risk category increased from 16 to 365. This was a great improvement for the Water Services Authority, showing that they are really applying the risk management as one approach to assist and in managing drinking water. Now, in terms of recommendations, Honorable Chair, we've categorized them in two. We've got short-term interventions that we see that these are quick wins, and that talks to the monitoring as well as data uploading on the system. It talks to the issue of water safety planning, talks to the improvement in terms of compliance to final water, as well as for the Water Services Authorities to source relevant skills. Medium to long term, there needs to be a look at the operational capacity of treatment plants, a program in terms of infrastructure asset management needs to be to be undertaken in what by Water Services Authority, and the issue of sourcing funding. But in terms of sourcing funding, you also need to ensure that funding you have set aside some money for operations and maintenance besides investing in new infrastructure. Way forward, Chairperson, Honorable Chair, we say in 2015, for the 2015, we're currently doing the moderation. We are done with the assessment. You will see that there we've said it's a progress report. It's not the full assessment due to financial constraints as well as capacity constraints that we are facing in the department. So what we're doing, we are doing progress assessments that entail water safety planning assessments, that entails skills, which is your process controllers, but it also entails your drinking water quality management as well as asset management. And then for the 2016, which is looking 2016 progress assessment report, we've had training in December 2016, and currently, as we are sitting here, Chair, the team is doing assessments in the Bellville office in terms of the assessment, and we expect the draft report by October 2017. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. We'll move on to the Green Drop report, and Solomon Makate will take us through that.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning to Honourable members as well. My name is Solomon Makate, and I'm doing the presentation on Green Drop. I will start on slide number 3, which looks at the background of the Green Drop report. It was started in 2008, and from there it was developed to such an extent that it covers both the Green Drop assessment as an incentive tool, but then also took into account the Green Drop progress report that only looks at the risk-based regulation that has been introduced in the department, which the first report was published in 2012. Now, the 2014 that we are currently discussing, also the Green Drop Progress Report. And when we go to the next slide, the difference between the two is that the Green Drop audit, they focus solely on the entire system, where we took into account the collection from our households when it gets into the pump station until it reaches the wastewater treatment works. And then the output of that would be the Green Drop Report. And then with the progress report, one that we are currently discussing that talks to the 2014 report, we are focusing solely on the Green Drop, on the wastewater treatment works. We don't take into account the pump station, but we're focusing only on the wastewater treatment plant. And the output of that will be the progress report. And then going to the next slide, the audits were conducted for all the 152 water services authorities in the country. And the 824 wastewater treatment works that are owned by the municipalities, four of those were from the private systems, which are listed there, Sun City, Nedbank, Olozi, Nisrasol, Sinfuels, as well as the InfraChem. And then we also did one for the Department of Environmental Affairs, which we assessed the 13 wastewater works at the Kruger National Park. And then when we go to the next slide, the criteria that we use for the risk-based regulation or the 2014 report, we took into account four criteria, and then A, we are assessing the design capacity to say the plant can it handle the amount of flow that is coming into the works in terms of hydraulics, and then we also looked at the operational flow of saying that can the plant, based on what it can hold, handle the load that is coming into the works. And then C, which looks at the effluent failure, where we focus only on 9 determinants, which are listed there, the pH, electrical conductivity, suspended solid, COD, ammonia, nitrates, and phosphates. And then we also took into account technical skills. But if you check A and B, they purely address infrastructure issues or the physical structure. And then C is the biotechnology. And then D is the technical skills that is available at the plant. And those four, they actually need to be talking to one another. When we go to the next slide, in terms of the comparative analysis, for the first assessment that were done in 2008, this was taken as a voluntary assessment. The municipalities had to come on whether they want to participate or not. But from 2009, when we went back and did our homework, we found out that actually, according to Section 62 of the Water Services Act, all the municipalities are supposed to be submitting or must be audited by the minister. Then it became mandatory that all the municipalities were actually assessed. So we did all the 156 up until 2013 when they were amalgamated to 152 in the country, then we did also still 100%. So when we check the performance trend, it's stagnant or it doesn't change. The number of wastewater works, because in the 2008 was voluntary, it was 144, but up to date we've done 824. The average cumulative risk rate, which is the risk for the overall four criteria, it is at 13.4, which has decreased a little bit from 12.2 in 2013 to 13.4. The one that is also of a major concern is number 8, average design risk rating, which has been stagnant from 2009 at 1.4 up to currently. One of the things that are contributing to that is that with the upgrades or refurbishments that are happening at these infrastructure facilities, is that they are actually a multi-year project, so we will not complete them in one financial year. So for one to upgrade the plant, it will take a little bit of number of years to complete. That is why now the design capacity is still remaining the same. But because there is new connections that are coming in as well, based on the growing of the population as well as the new developments that are happening in our areas, then what is coming into the plant is increasing. So it's increased from 3.6 in 2013 to 4.1 because solely of the new connections. And then that ultimately affects the effluent failure, because now the plant cannot handle what is coming into the plant because of the loading. Then it affects the compliance of the final load. And then it informs us, therefore, with number D, that with the infrastructure development that we are currently doing, we need to consequently train the current process controllers that are at the plant. As we are improving on the technology, we need to be improving on the skills of the process controllers that are employed at those plants so that they can be able to operate these plants. Going to the next slide. The overall risk profile remains reasonably constant according to the previous table from 2008 to 2013. However, there is a regress in performance for municipal treatment facilities in 2014. And the DDG has also indicated that the issue of the reports, which has actually indicated as a lack of incentive, because the best performers are not recognized when we do not release the reports. The results indicated that despite the significant regulatory pressure, process or evidence are still lacking in terms of inflow or effluent quality monitoring, which is similar to what CISNOX was indicating in the report, that the lack of monitoring of the final water is the challenge that we see across, because of issues relating to contracts with the laboratories. If you are not paid, then they will not release the results. But with wastewater, we also see a major challenge with monitoring of the inflow. The majority of the plants do not actually take inflow measurements that are of the water that is coming into the plant. It's like driving a car with no speedometer. So they don't know what is coming into the plant, then it becomes a challenge to know that how much is coming into the plant. When we go into the next slide, where we look at the national risk profile, which I will explain in the next slide, but we see a decline in the number of wastewater treatment works that are in a low risk, which is 135 for 2014. And then the increase in those that are in a higher, in the critical risk, which is 212. Going to the next slide, now this explains a little bit in terms of the numbers here, that the majority of plants are in high risk is 259, and then those that are in a medium risk is 218, and then those that are in critical risk is 212, and those that are in a low risk space is 135. The plants that actually regress in terms of the performance, they are placed under regulatory surveillance, where we are monitoring them on a quarterly basis, and it is reported according to our annual performance plan target. Going to the next slide. For the provincial best performers, because they are listed according to alphabetical order, the Eastern Cape, the best overall risk position, which has been achieved by Buffalo City and Nelson Mandela Bay, and then with respect to implementation of wastewater risk abatement plan, they are reducing the risk that they've identified, is Kamdibo. And for Free State, the overall risk position, best performer was Tokolopo, and then it was also the best implementer of the wastewater risk abatement plan. In the Gauteng was City of Johannesburg, and the one that is implementing their wastewater risk abatement plan the best is Merafong local municipality. In KwaZulu-Natal is Thekwini Metro, which reduced their risk, as well as Umhlathuze and Mgungundlovu. And Umhlathuze again, they've actually indicated that they are implementing their wastewater risk abatement plan better. In Limpopo, the one that closed the gap in terms of their risk position is Polokwane, and then the implementer of the risk abatement plan is Vembe. In Mpumalanga, it's Mbombela, and then the best implementer of risk abatement is Chief Albert Lithuli Ngomazi, as well as Tikchwe. In the Northern Cape,
The best performer is Tsantsabane, Hantaman, Mthanjeni, and then those that implemented their risk abatement plan was Tsantsabane, Hantam, Kamisberg, Keith, Chomurulung, Siatemba, Siangumabunzu, Kaiman, and Makoi. Northwest, the one that reduced their risk is Trokwe and Rustenburg. And then the best implementer of the risk abatement is Trokwe, Rustenburg, and Moses Kotane. In the Western Cape, the best reduce of their risk overall is Beaufort West, Bitou, Wittenberg, and Overstrand. And then the best progress risk abatement plan implementation came from Beaufort West, Bitou, and Sapphire, Berg, against State. In terms of the individual performance, the province, in terms of Eastern Cape, Buffalo City is the one that is in the low risk position. I will just focus on the low risk ones. And when we move to the next slide, we actually indicating those that are in a critical risk position. And these are the municipalities that we are actually monitoring, as we indicated, on a quarterly basis and reporting them according to our APP targets, which is Zambe, Owatambo, Kritani, Ukraine, Kogama, Sandes River, Babians, Ikwezi, Alfred Nzoma, Kana, Kuha, Ruka, Rukashamba, Kamdibo, and Amatov. In the Free State, the low-risk position is Tokoloho. And when we move to Gauteng, the low-risk is City of Johannesburg. And when we move from KwaZulu-Natal, it's Kusatuze, Ungungunzi, and Etebwini. In Limpopo, we don't have any municipality that is in a low-risk position. And in Mpumalanga, it's not a presence of a low risk position, but there is one that is in a medium risk. And in Northwest, it's only Tokwe that is in a low risk position. And in the Northern Cape, it's Tsantsabane, Hantam, and Mthanjeni. And in the Western Cape, it's Bitou, Beaufort West, Wittenberg, Overstrand, Knysna, Mossel Bay, George, City of Cape Town, and Theewaterskloof. And then we will go to the challenges. One of the major challenges that we have is that for the wastewater treatment works, the 2015 Green Drop Assessments have not been undertaken due to not having the service provided to assist with assessments. And as the chief directorate also not having enough capacity to do that, and then we've also had a challenge with the delay to release of the report. But from the Water Service Authority side, we still see a challenge with insufficiency process controllers and then the vacancies. In terms of monitoring, data uploading on the Green Drop system is a challenge. The data is not loaded on the system, and then when it comes to calculating compliance in the country, it actually gives misleading information because it's the limited data. And then minimal maintenance of sewer pump station, which is also one of the major challenges. When the sewer pump stations are not properly maintained, the wastewater doesn't end up at the wastewater plant. It's scattered around the villages and the towns, and then ends up being a serious a health hazard for the communities that we live in. And also vandalism of infrastructure. The recommendation is the water service authorities need to prioritize implementation of a risk-based action plan that will start to identify and address the most critical risks pertaining to wastewater treatment performance. Installation of meters for inflow measurements, because we see that as a major challenge. Undertaking of process audits so that they can determine priority infrastructure interventions. Training and appointment of process controllers to meet minimum level of technical and supervisory expertise that is required for those specific plans. And also infrastructure asset management for optimal wastewater treatment works and pump station performance. There also needs to be a focused attention on sludge management, because bulk of the wastewater treatment works, the sludge is not properly disposed of. In many cases, it's lying on the ground, and when it rains, it's flooded into the river. That causes actually pollution also into the water resources. Also, the release of the Green Drop report to encourage submission of the results, and also exploring of opportunities for mutual partnership with private sector. The example here is what we have seen with Zanzibar and local municipality that partnered with Kumba Iron Ore. And the arrangement was such that it was not support in terms of finance, but in areas that Kumba Iron Ore could assist, for an example, in taking their effluent water and analyzing it at their laboratory, and then that would actually minimize cost for the municipality to be able to submit data on time instead of asking for money so that they can outsource the appointment of a service provider, for an example, for lab services. Sometimes also they can assist in terms of maintenance. Some of these companies, we know that they've got plumbers, they've got millwrights, they've got mechanical personnel, then they work hand in hand with the municipality. Maybe when they say the pump is broken, they can easily go to them and then they fix it for them, then they come and install it instead of giving money. So sometimes that becomes a challenge to monitor what is it that was used for. Way forward. Taking of the appointment of the service provider to assist us between these 15-16 drop assessments, and then also to bring together the resources internally so that we can be able to do the progress assessment for the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Solomon. Chairperson, honorable members, that is the presentation of the department. As I've indicated, it gives a snapshot of the state of the municipal infrastructure for water treatment and wastewater treatment. It's not a topic that is new to this committee. The committee has had an active role in unlocking a lot of these challenges, and the committee also has played a role in assisting in the Northwest Province to seek a commitment from the mining sector in terms of a partnership or stewardship for many for making sure that the communities around the mines have access to water. But I think then that we will we'll stop here with the presentation, and then we will be guided by the chairperson, and we'll be happy to respond to questions from the members. Thank you.
Maybe just a quick one before we engage. What has been the trend previously? We're now getting a 2014 report. Would we have been able to meet the target as per the previous consensus, starting with 2008? For 2009, did we get the report timely, 2010, and so on and so forth? I'm asking that question preempted by the fact that we have all sorts of challenges now. You still have to provide, you still have to get the service provider, you still have to get all these kinds of skills. What has been the previous trend? You may not be there, you may have been there, I don't know.
Chairperson, when the program started in the early 2008-2009, there was an upward trend. I only started with this in 2013, but the colleagues Solomon and Knox, they can verify that there was an upward trend. There was great excitement. Municipalities bought into the program, and then due to various factors such as the non-release of the report, there seemed to have been a kind of decline in the trend. But over the problem is not the report. The report gets done by the PSPs, by the department. Then the department needs to give it to individual municipalities, and then we release it in the public domain. But what has been the trend, and it's on all departments, is that we are all the victims of budgetary cuts. When there is a cut in the budget, the National Treasury gives the department less, then these kind of programs end up suffering in terms of rolling it out. What we currently have to do then is to adapt our program and say, okay, we can't do the full assessment, we'll do a partial assessment. And if we can't do a partial assessment, then we do a capita selector of the critical areas. But I think that, to answer your question briefly, is that these kind of, instead of there being an upward trend, there's somewhat a decline or a descending trend. But that's because of the reasons that I've outlined. So we hope to reverse that and hope to reinvigorate the program with the commitment of the municipalities. And I think that even in their space, there's competition for the resources of a municipality through the funding that they get, etc. But when you look at the assessment of those ones that are critical, then it requires a lot. In fact, if you take wastewater treatment work that is underperforming or delivering below the capacity, oftentimes you can't refurbish it, you have to just replace it. And that's quite a cost prohibitive, quite an expensive exercise. I don't know if Solomon and Knox, you want to add anything to what I've said.
I think the trend has, there has been excitement in the water sector, in the municipalities, in terms of the release of the reports. Everyone was anticipating that, yeah, Water Affairs is coming to assess us, and we are going to attain. So that incentive part played a major role. Now, when in 2013 the report was not released on time, then I think it also brought a level of laxity at Water Services authorities to say, okay, now that Water Affairs has not released the report, and because of financial constraints, they are not coming to assess, some of them forgot the key money that they had, which was to provide safe drinking water in terms of their constitutional mandate. Thank you.
Okay, no, that's fine. That gives us a sense of clarity on work done in the past and some of the constraints confronted with. I'm not sure if we should really buy into the budget constraint issue. I'm very, very not sure about that one. But that's a matter that we need to deal with, because it contradicts some of the issues you are raising here. Because in the main here, you are talking about capacity. I'm not sure whether capacity and constraints of budget can be intertwined. It does not tally. Okay, Mam Kekana, welcome Mrs. Kekana and Nkosi Thabekhulu. Year 2017, we missed you yesterday. I can assure you that you did not lose much though. Okay, Mrs. Kekana, Mr. Person, Dr. Andrew. Mam Kaula, Nkosi Thabekhulu.
Thanks very much. Happy New Year for everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I want to ask the department, because now we are talking about 2009 until 2013, and we are now on 2017, but on the blue drops, what is the intervention of the department for underperforming processes? I think it's on page 9.
Mr. Pazza?
Chairperson, I would like to echo what you said. The two documents differ in the reason. The one is a financial constraint. The other one is the procurement of suppliers. In the 2015 year, 2 billion rand was returned to National Treasury, so it couldn't have been a funding problem. In the 15-16 year, they gave back 827 million to National Treasury, and they ended up with 187 million not used in the previous financial year. Now, with wastewater treatment, and then I think wastewater is our biggest problem. We've got 824 plants that is supplying more than, that's receiving more than 5 million megalitres of sewer on a daily basis. And if you look at the figures, that 16%, only 16% of our wastewater treatment plants are in low risk. That means that we are putting back partially treated or untreated sewer. 4,200 megalitres of partially treated or untreated sewer back into our water system in 82% of our rivers. Now that's crucial. My concern is that I don't see a commitment. We talk about now procuring or getting procurement on the 2015-16 financial year or 14-15 financial year people to do the work. We're in 2017. That work, if we talk about a blue and green drop report, it should be a 27 report. There was nothing done. The 2014 report was done in 2013. And yes, we had to bring a PIE application to get our hand on those reports. But I don't see a commitment within the department to get this work done. The question is what assurance will we have that the way forward, going forward, there will be a commitment, having this on time, because that's the only report that we as a committee receives, or South Africa receives, that tell us whether this, our wastewater treatment plants and our water treatment plants are functioning. I guarantee you, Chairperson, that those plants that was assessed in 2013, they're even worse now. I have done oversight on plants that was not even on the list. They were, that's non-functional at the moment. I've been there in December. If you look at the 2013 report, there's no problem. When I look at plants like, you talk about treatment plants, water treatment plants, and wastewater treatment plants. In Craddock, at the moment, there's a water problem in Craddock. That wastewater treatment plant is still not functional, and we summoned Chris Hani Municipality to this portfolio committee with Craddock, and nothing has been done to that. There was a report before this committee. The department said they will follow this up. Now it's 2017. Chairperson, they were in 2015 before this portfolio committee. Nothing has happened. Chair, I really think that we must get a commitment on this. This is important to know. Furthermore, the Auditor General red flagged the fact that the blue and green drop reports were not done in 2015, and now we get it. It's been done, but we are still assessing it. It's another year later. These plants shift from year to year. They go from bad to worse. And we need to pick up on this. We must then get another method of assessing plants, Chairperson, on a basis that is reliable. We can't talk about we want to get the 2015-16 report done. If you're only going to do it now in 2017, it means we've lost that report and that sequence. Then it must be a 2017 report. Chairperson, lastly, my question is on the blue scorpions. Last year there was only 85 of the 177 posts filled. In some of the provinces, there is no blue scorpions that could monitor our rivers. And at the stage last year, and it comes out of the Auditor General's report, was that not one of our officials was designated, was trained as environmental inspectors in terms of the National Environmental Management Act. I want to know whether that has changed, Chairperson. We can get an answer on that. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Andra.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Department for the reports. The first question I have is for Ms. Ntapai on the Blue Dot report, progress report. She mentioned that there were three main factors, three main weaknesses, skills deficit monitoring, and also data uploading. Now, just on that third issue of data, that's really important because the point is you can't manage something if you can't measure. You need that information. It needs to be good. And so my question is, what are the incentives and or consequences where there were instances where there was either no data uploading or there was uploading of poor quality data, because that needs to be addressed quite urgently. The second question on the Blue Drop is, I think it's on slide 20. If you look at the risk ratings, there's very disconcerting trends, but the one province that obviously jumps out is Northwest. I think 60% of the systems were either in a high or critical risk categories. I mean, this is really alarming. And so with your recommendations, they're very general, generic, specifically what remedial interventions are targeted for Northwest to deal with that, because that's a critical province at the moment. So that's with regards to the Blue Drop. Mr. Makate, with regards to the Green Drop, again, two questions. You spoke about the fact that there wasn't effluent inflow monitoring in many of the plants. I mean, this is really the analogy that was used, is that having a car without a speedometer, the systems can easily get overwhelmed. And so that's very, very concerning. I see there was a recommendation that there would be installation of inflow meters, but it's just a recommendation. Can we get a sense of how quickly that can be done? Because this seems like a low-hanging fruit. You can just get this done, we resolve lots of the issues. So is there confidence that this will be done, and by when can this be done for maximum coverage of the plants? And then the final question is just with regards to the regression that we see with regards to the Green Drop, the number of plants in the critical risk category, looking specifically at the provinces of Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and the Northwest, where you have high number of critical category plants, and you have more than half of those plants regressing. So using the car analogy, that's like putting a car into reverse, going off backwards off the edge of a cliff. It's a real concern that we have this trend. And then I read with great relief on slide 10 this statement. It said the plants that regressed by taking up increased risk ratios will be placed under surveillance and continuously monitored for implementation of corrective interventions and risk mitigation measures. Now, this is, at first glance, this is a great statement because, in fact, I think it's one of the strongest statements in the presentation. But then when we hear about these resource constraints, and I mean, there's some controversy as to what the actual source of those constraints are, I have to begin to question, well, this is a bold assertion. Can you give us as a committee the assurance that in fact you'll be able to do this, that you will be able to do the surveillance, and that there will be this intervention given the fact that you have a constraint? Because I think, again, this is a critical recommendation, but we need to have an assurance that you can do it. Thank you.
Mankar?
We reported like 2012-14. If una mino was to pull up a province, our 8 we blue dropped. Yes. Ngabe lokho akwehlisini izimpilo zabantu. Ngifuna nje ukwazi lapho ngoba lana iyakhombisa. Ngisafuna ukubuza nje ngizogcina lapho, ngisazobuya ngibuyele kunini. Ngiyabonga.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. Looking at this report of 2012-2014, What I've noticed is that in 8 provinces, there is a decline in blue drop. Now, what I want to know, or what my concern is that this decline, does it not reduce or affect the lives of the people? Thank you.
Oh, sorry, Nkosi, too cool. Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is too general, Chairperson, but looking at the green drop. Chairperson, one is sort of interested in getting who actually responsible for whipping the crack on those instances that have failed to make sure that the waste that is coming from the municipality goes straight to the waterway for cleaning up. I'm raising this, Chairperson, with an experience that the lack of proper dealing with the waste from the municipality has resulted in some areas of the town where the livestock had to drink the contaminated water, and they died. And no one ever took responsibility of maybe compensating the livestock owners in the area. So my question almost goes back to what one of the members here pointed out, the issue of the policy people responsible for making sure that our rivers are clean for even the livestock down the river.
Apologies, Nkosi Kulu. You know, the reason why I guess, you know, you were hidden a bit. But I was a bit taken aback, trying to get a sense as to whether we are going or coming. We do drink water. Municipalities reticulate water to a point of a tap where we drink. So many things are being said but not done in terms of regulation, 10% maintenance by municipalities. The issue yesterday was raised about integrated planning. At Indambe, since 2000, that's now Port Alfred, you drink water there. I visited the area once and my tummy was like running for days. That situation still persists even today at Port Alfred or Ndambe. I can talk, I'm sure you have your own experiences. Now the extent you same paragraph Dr. Handroff you were raising about the majority of plants that are in high risk, 259. And the point is being raised about maintenance all the time. You really never get a sense as to, there is no doubt the department is doing this much. But whether we're doing this much in really getting to say, indeed, we are progressing, I don't get that sense. To a point where you get a stronger sense as time goes that we here seemingly are on an autopilot. You know, things are literally moving all by themselves. You know, systems were set in place some time ago, you know. They are just moving on by themselves. Anything else that happens, you know, you have all those systems and people in place that are literally, you know, making sure that, you know, things are getting somewhere. That's what is going through the mind as I'm listening both to the department, Blue and Green Drop reports. Hence the questions about assurances, whether indeed we shall be able to get a report 2015, 2016, 2017. Obviously, it's going to be quite a serious one for us to catch up. And whether indeed we shall be able to catch up, you know, 2017, 2018. And now there are those issues raised by Inkosi Qelukhulu, you know, about contaminated water. Maybe the department might do its best in really getting off the burden out of my shoulders. I'm really struggling. Whether this requires a certain amount of assurance, and again, easier said than done.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honourable members, for the questions and comments. We, as a department, we share the comments and the concerns of the committee and the chairperson's feeling that are we going anywhere, or are we going backwards. I did speak about when the program was launched, there was a great deal of excitement and a great deal of commitment and all of that. Under the previous minister, the decision was taken to delay or defer the reports until it went to cabinet and was ratified by cabinet. But we put that behind us. Chairperson, the thing is that the department, what we're grappling with now as a regulator. As a regulator, you carry a big stick or you offer the carrot. This program is incentive-based. So we thought that we would incentivize, we would reward those better performing municipalities and focus on supporting them. As we have evolved with this program, we have to reflect on whether we need to change the approach, and maybe we need to take the big stick approach, because the incentive may work to a degree, but in some instances we have to crack the whip, as the honourable members were saying, and we do that. I'm going to answer now the questions that were posed by individual members. Chairperson, we're not using the budget constraints or the budget capacity, etc., as an excuse. We budget for this program, and then we find that when the letter comes from National Treasury, we find that the budget has been constrained. You will realize that this department, the majority of the department's budget is in the infrastructure program. Regulation has the smallest budget in the department, and from that small budget we have got 8 programs to manage. But I think that the assurance and the commitment of the department towards improving the situation, we can reiterate it, we can commit ourselves to doing it, but we need the buy-in of the local government. As Honorable Basson pointed out, the real issue is the wastewater, and the wastewater is a critical thing that we have to look at. Honorable Kekana asked the question of the department's interventions since 2009-2017. As we've explained, that this reports, in some years we do a full assessment, in some years we do a partial assessment. Now the interventions that we make, when we call the municipalities when we give them the report, we ask them to say, there's your report. Tell us what is it that you can do to improve the situation. And we sit with them and we go through that improvement plan. where we get an improvement plan. Sometimes we don't even get an improvement plan or a response to the thing. So I'm not trying to use the budget constraints and the capacity constraints as an excuse, but the reality is that we have a small team internally and we have to rely on an external service provider to do this work, because it's a very, very onerous, very, very long process of doing it and highly technical. So when we get the first draft of the report, then there has to be an evaluation, then there has to be a kind of assessment, and then you look at what mistakes were made, what and how we're going to deal with them. But the commitment is there. I think that the department, that's why we have this program. Otherwise, we must jettison the program and come up with something else. But the program is there. The program needs to, we need to have some introspection on how better we can roll out this program with the commitment. But we've committed ourselves in terms of the way forward to producing, and we will honor that commitment. We will honor that commitment, and we will bring then the composite report, bringing us up to date for 2017. The question regarding CRADOC and Chris Hani, Honorable Besson, I think that there was an answer given to that by the department to the committee, or response rather. I think, Sophie, we'll just have to check our records in terms of what we responded to, and then we can reflect on that. The Blue Scorpions, that is also falling under me. We have the compliance monitoring team that does monitoring, and then the enforcement team, which does the administrative action and the thing. We now and the criminal prosecution to together with the NPA and the SEPs. We have now, I probably think the latest number is about 20 of people that we have trained now as the EMI. Regarding the filling of the vacant post in the Blue Scorpions, we have filled the director's post at head office, so we're looking at the head office component and then the components there. But you will appreciate that the department was under that the moratorium of the filling of posts, and now we are in the process of filling the posts. So the capacity of the Blue Scorpions is indeed something that we are prioritizing. Then the rest of the questions were directed to my colleagues from Honorable Dr. Hendrick. I'll let them take that questions. Honorable Kawula's questions, yes, ma'am, indeed so. If the potable water quality is a problem, if the wastewater is a problem, it does have a negative impact on our lives. We agree with that. And that's why we want to keep this program going, so that we can be able to work with municipalities to improve it. The Honorable Sebakulu asked a question about the livestock, and I think that we share his concern about that. But in that instances, we'll have to look at those culprits in KZN, and we will have to deal with them in terms of non-compliance. I'll stop there and I'll hand over to you. You want to add anything?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I just want to come in on the intervention that the department is doing for municipalities. When we allocate funding under the ACIP, the Accelerated Infrastructure Program, we deal mostly with sewage treatment works. So we take what we get from the Blue Drop and the Green Drop report and look at those critical treatment works, and then say, for the funding that we've got, that is little under ACIP, we concentrate our funding to go towards those treatment works that are critical. The main problem comes after those treatment works have been refurbished, because they are municipal infrastructure. We have to refurbish them to bring them to the standard. But the operation and maintenance needs to come from municipalities. And if that doesn't happen, then basically in 2 years, 3 years' time, they're back down. They're already back to being critical again, because they haven't been maintained. And from our books, we can't go back and refurbish one infrastructure all the time. So we say we have done the infrastructure, we have refurbished, we have helped to refurbish this infrastructure. We need to go to another municipality so that we can be able to refurbish and help to refurbish the infrastructure. So the onus really lies with municipalities, so they can be able to operate and maintain the infrastructure, and also to be able to appoint skilled personnel so that they can be able to operate those that infrastructure. Without the skilled personnel, we are getting nowhere. And the skilled personnel needs to be appointed by the municipalities. We do get training through WISA to train the process controllers so that they can be upgraded, so that they can be appointed and be able to do the operation and maintenance of the wastewater treatment works and the water treatment works. And from our side, we also do quarterly monitoring. Each and every region does the quarterly monitoring of those treatment critical treatment works, and they report back to us. And what we do from the regulation side, we write to the municipality on non-compliance letters, and they need to give us their action plans. And we can see, because what my DDG is saying, that from our side, we don't have the funding as regulations. But from infrastructure side, the funding is available, but it's limited. So we need to identify, from our side, we would identify to say these are the treatment works that need help. And then from the funding side, they will be able to allocate money towards those municipalities.
Pass it over.
Thanks, Chair.
Pass it over to Knox. Nope.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'll briefly talk to the issue of data. And I think the DDG will talk to the Northwest issues in terms of what is happening there. Data. The challenge we have is that we don't do ourselves, we don't operate the water treatment plants, and we rely on water services authorities to load data on our system to enable us to understand what is going on in a particular municipality with respect to quality of drinking water. As Osis Lerato has said that what we do when we see that, because on the system you will see that currently there's 97% compliance with respect to microbiological compliance, and we mainly focus on that due to the capacity constraints that we have as a department, be it ourselves, because in the office we only have two technical people dealing with drinking water. And then that is number one, which is the issue of capacity constraints. So what we do, we work with our provincial offices, and then because the delegations to issue the compliance notices lie with the provincial offices, so we work hand in hand with them, and they provide us with the quarterly monitoring reports and the compliance letters that have been issued there. In terms of compliance letters. In terms of the you spoke about slide 20. Slide 20 talks to critical risk rating, as well as whether it's high or whether it's low. And in Northwest, there's about 60% of them at between medium and high risk in terms of we have had engagements with the respective municipalities. We've tried to assist. However, the key challenge that they have, number one, is the lack of capacity to operate the plants, and that is attached to their budgetary constraints also. So it's a matter of I don't want to say a chicken and an egg issue, the issue of budget and control. But I believe that the portfolio committee and the honorable members can also assist us in terms of managing the process to ensure that our population or our citizens of the country receive good quality drinking water. Thank you.
Solo.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. From the question that relates to the installation of flow meters, I think our Chief Director highlighted with respect to the support that is coming from the department with respect to ASAP. However, that is highly dependent on the municipality to install, because that is their asset. But to commit when, that is actually not something that is going to be committed, because the asset is managed purely by the municipality. And then with respect to the statement relating to municipalities being placed under regulatory surveillance, the chief, I think, has also touched on it. But what we're doing together with the regions is that we are monitoring these wastewater treatment plants and the reporting on them on a quarterly basis. And then it's part of our annual performance plan targets, and we're reporting on them on a regular basis. So that is being done based on what has been identified as the report.
Yeah. Chairperson and honorable members, the committee is fully aware of interventions done in Northwest Province. It has been the priority of this committee on the oversight visits, for example, case in point being Maribeng, which is the home of the Honorable Basson and Honorable Chauke. I think that we've seen some, at the last presentation, we came to the committee with some progress in terms of Ketlang, etc. But the Northwest remains for us a critical focus in terms of how we're going to do an overall improvement. And we'd be coming to the committee, working with the committee to see which areas we want to now focus on. There's been a focus on Nakamodire, there's been a focus on Maikeng, there's been a focus on Rustenburg, etc. But it needs us to look at now what we've done and what we need to do in the other parts of the Northwest province. Chairperson, I think we'll stop there and perhaps maybe hand back to you.
I saw your hand, that's fine.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, we as a department have a responsibility to support municipality with the implementation of sanitation. Wastewater treatment plants fall under sanitation. We in MIG have about over 5 billion which is budgeted for sanitation. I would say 88% of that budget goes to the upgrading and refurbishment of wastewater treatment plant. We supported the municipality to put up improvement plan, and they submit technical report which goes through us. They are assessed by the department and recommended to COTA for implementation. We have done a lot, especially since I've talked from the last year when I joined the department. I can come up with a list of wastewater treatment where we have assessed technical report, recommended for funding, and they get it done by the municipality. And our role also is to monitor whether the municipality does their upgrade to treatment plant. And also through the MTF outcome number 9, there is an action where we are supposed to come out with pipeline of projects to refurbish, for municipality to refurbish and upgrade. We are in the process of coming up with district municipality master plan. We don't just come with master plans. We get to Amatole and we say this is the situation, these are the projects which need to be implemented to improve the situation of these wastewater treatment plants. I can come up with reports on those things which have been supported by MISA to get those programs implemented. So I was saying
The issue of assessment is another policy thing. You should tell us what is there, but on our side, we are addressing what is wrong. That one is coming slowly. We will cover the country, but you are doing a lot of work. Starting with 27 priority districts and also assessing the technical report. That is done in my session department. I can come back with the records of what this sort of different plan that we were allocated, how many millions to get it upgraded and refurbished. That's to put into account that there is money we get through the MINC funding on the portion of Sandin, which is every year is over 5 billion. But we all dress, I can assure with municipality to maintain and operate whatever has been refurbished and upgraded. But we do attend issues of refurbishment.
Since we have been in this committee, if I'm not mistaken, it's been 2015 that we've been spoken to about the 27 district municipalities that are hotspots. Can we get progress on that? What progress can we talk about? You've been talking about 27 district municipalities that are hotspots since 2015. It's been 27 districts all the time. I would imagine by now that number should have decreased. What progress can we talk about?
Last year we did 4 district municipalities, that is years 16, 17. It's 4. This year, the coming, not the other year, 14, 15. It was 4. And then in last year,
what did you do?
It's 63. That means now we have covered 10. We go there and, like I say, we do the district municipality master plan, assess the situation, come up with intervention, what projects should be done to address. We're not only looking at water and sanitation, we are looking at all basic services, but on our side, we focus on water and sanitation. What needs to be done in those municipalities, what projects are need to be in place as SAP in those districts, in those district municipalities. We started, if you still remember, we started with Amatole, we went to Mzinyati, we went to Skukune, and we went to Mkapuchanel. Now we're busy with Oar Tambo and others.
But what did you do? That's what I'm asking.
We put up master plans, and then we put up programs which need to be implemented, and then we support those municipalities to implement those projects to ensure that they do implement those projects to correct the situation on the ground.
Chairperson,
we are supposed to finish those 27 by 2017 December this year.
Chairperson, can I just come in there to assist Tammy? The question is, you're right, what did we do? And did we improve tangibly? Did we make an impact tangibly? There is a report on the 27 district municipalities, that what we call the municipalities under distress. If I'm not mistaken, and Choki can correct me, our colleague Mr. Trevor Balza did come to engage or present to the committee. Perhaps we will pull up that report and then update it, and then we will provide a written response to the committee on that by the end of the week. That might assist us, Jefferson.
Okay, Mrs. Bilankula, noted, Mr. Balza.
It's like getting lost. To me, the presentation, I don't think the presentation that we're getting here is relevant. You know, the response that we're getting, it's like it's not from the one report. I don't know whether it's because the stats indicate the 2012 thing and now we're in 2017. I don't know, Chairperson, if we can maybe tell the department to come back and give us the presentation that is for now in order to have the stats on the ground. Thanks.
Chairperson, I agree with the statement to say that if a municipality has been assisted by the department cannot go back and assist again. And I've got, it happens. There's a lot of these municipalities where the department will go in 6 months later, we're back to square one. My problem is that I think the department should stop barking at municipalities and start biting them, like Eskom is doing now. If you don't pay and threaten them, I'll cut your electricity. So if you cannot run your plant, I'll take it away from you. Give it to someone else. I know that could be another challenge. But if you know the problem, downstream, we are polluting water where other municipalities extract that water, it costs them much more to clean that water, and nothing happens to this municipality. You would write them a letter, and you put them on terms, but nothing happens. So please, can we get in 2017, if we get municipalities that don't act, and give them 14 days, if they don't rectify, withdraw their license, give it to a water board to run that plant, and let's show that we can bite. If we cannot bite, tell us you can't bite, and there is no way, but we cannot constantly spending money on wastewater and water treatment plants. 6 months later, the community is suffering because of non-compliance by that municipality they don't maintain. And as long as there's no pressure on them, they won't do it. And Jefferson, I don't want to use this as an example, but it's an experience I have. In 2012, Maribeng spent 12 million rand out of their money on their wastewater treatment plant. It's non-functional. The new plant that was built, that was it's non-functional. It's because of maintenance and the capacity to do it. You can't go and spend money there again. And if you don't put pressure on them, take it away. Give it to Magalies Water and say, Magalies, you run this plant. If the municipalities are not going to learn, if the department is not going to be harsh on them, bite them, they will just go on as normal business on a daily basis. So let's go in 2017 and say we're going to be harsh on these municipalities. We cannot constantly go back. It's not just Maribeng that's got problems. There's huge amount of plants all over the country. You can't go back to the same time every time because there's a lot of pressure on you doing that. Take away the plants, please, Chairperson. Let them show us in 2017 they can act against municipalities, take away their plants if they don't have the capacity, and when they can show they've got the capacity, then take a decision when you want to give it back.
Maybe the department might also wish to brief us if it is to be for now or for later. The matter raised by Mr. Fasson talks pretty much to the capacity of the municipalities and also a need for such management of those water facilities, whether that should continue to be remaining within the municipalities or it is now to be a matter that resides within your water entities. I'm sure you can talk to us about that as well. Mrs. Kowler?
Sibonga Sihlalo. I nami ngivumelana nje no Hlonishwa Mbilankulu. Ukuthi sangathi laba bahlonishwa bangaphambi kwethu. Ake bethu kuhamba, babuye sibephethe iripoti A1 ngoba eqinisweni first number one funa abanjwe bathi la njengoba bekhuluma siyavuka siyanotha and simela abantu and if sikhuluma ngamanzi sikhuluma ngey'mpilo zabantu. Uyabona omunye uthi ibhajethi ayikho, omunye kubona uthi ibhajethi ikhona. Ngempelampela ekubeni nathi nginokuthuka ukuthi le mali njengoba kuthiwa ibhajethi ayikho, angani bayakwazi ukuthi imali bayinikiwe imali imali beyisebenzisa bayibuyisele emuva ngamanye amazwi kusho ukuthi kudlalwa ngeyimali zabakhokhi bentela ngaleyo ndlela mina bengithi nje ake behambe basibuyele sebabuye sebehlangene enye into sihlalo lapho ngaphambili bengizocela nje kusukela manje kuze sikhombise ukuthi siyaphi nibonile abantu ukuthi basengcopheni labantu akukho labasilapha khona ngabantu bakithi bengizocela ukuthi sekuzofuneka bathathwe manje bebesithathele iy'nyathelo lo mnyango lona ukuthi babone ukuthi thina sidlale la.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I support Honorable Bilankulu by saying that the members of the department should go back and come back with a single report. I mean, here we are discussing a sensitive issue of water. One is saying there is no budget, the other one says there is a budget. So this is a little bit confusing. So I am of the opinion that definitely they should go back and come back with one voice. Another request that I'm making is that as a committee, we need to see to it that we take disciplinary action against the department because they seem to take us for granted. Thank you.
Okay, you were also raising something about Knox. You were raising something about maybe the committee can also assist you in getting municipalities to do what they are expected to do. If you can also just enlighten us on that one as well.
Jefferson, let me begin and then I'll pass the issue. What we have since I've been in this department and working with this committee, we have the relationship that we look to leadership and guidance of the committee to where the department is failing. You call us to order as the oversight committee, but you also guide us in improving. So that is the way that we have been working. And in some instances, we look to the guidance and leadership, and this is a very active committee because you have a lot of oversight. Your presence is felt and seen in by the communities. Also, that the communities appreciate that there's an intervention of the committee. The committee just doesn't accept what the department says. As the truth, you go on the oversight visits and you check for yourself, like in Malibeng, etc., etc. But the problem is that where we have assisted, we have to move on because we have got 800 odd plants that require attention, and rightfully so. If the municipality is undertaking a refurbishment, they have to appoint skilled people to do it. After several million rand later, and then you find the plant is not up to the standard. That is unacceptable, and we will be dealing with that in terms of enforcement. So I agree, Madam Honorable Bilankulu, if you feel that there's a degree of confusion that you have around the reports, but we have said that we will finalize these reports and bring them back to the committee. So maybe we could go, we should do that. I accept that we must come back with a revised report or a report that is more updated once we've finished these the reports to bring it up to date to 2017. Honorable Basson, the issue of taking enforcement action or biting municipalities, it is this committee met, had a joint sitting with the COCTA committee, with the other committees to look at how it can be dealt with. Now, the issue of we're dealing with legislation. We're dealing with the Municipal Systems Act and the Structures Act, in terms of which a municipality is awarded the status of a water service authority or water service provider by COCTA. and the application is made to COCTA, the minister and the Department of Water is not the department that is awarding that status. So we've grappled with this issue, and one of the issues that we're dealing with the minister is to see if there can be an assignment or a transfer of the function from COCTA to Water, which will then empower the minister to take control over the whole value chain. Right now, the minister is disempowered because we are dealing with the water in the bulk space and protection of the resource and norms and standards and all these regulatory things. But the services mandate lies within COCTA and local government. So to take away the plants because they are not performing, I would be happy to do that in a heartbeat. But we would be challenged legally. But let us, what I'm saying is we will apply our mind to how we can do it. And it surely is correct that we have repeated failures, and we can't be sitting back and saying, no, we must accept this. It's not acceptable for our people to be denied services, quality services. So one of the things that is legally possible is to revoke a license. And licensing is my function as well. We can look at the non-compliance with the license conditions, put them on terms, and revoke the license. Right? That's what we will be looking at now, focusing on this thing. And then we can look at maybe capacitating the water boards. But you know, the other challenge is that municipalities owe the water boards millions of rands. And that is now a challenge for us. But I think that we must come back with a concerted turnaround strategy of how we're going to deal with the problem that persists, like the muddy bank. And then we will be able to present to this committee, and obviously we will look for support of the committee, political support of the committee, to make that those interventions possible. Honorable Kawula's, similar to one of Honorable Bilankulu about a revised report or a consolidated report, and I think that regarding the taking action, disciplining the officials of the department, we would accept the chairperson has taken a firm stand, and where there is non-compliance and where we as officials don't commit or don't renege on our commitments, then we must be censured. We accept that. We will be responsible. We will work hard with this committee, and I think that the commitment that is there, how we get this done through the support of our political leadership and the committee. So I would like the committee to take heed of the fact that we have taken on board all the concerns and all the comments, and we will reflect on that, and I would like to come back later in the year to give a revised presentation and outline some of the concrete steps that we want to take in terms of this. And Chairperson, with regard to NOx, is what I'm saying is that is the committee has a leadership role, and when we come and we say, Honorable Committee, we want to test this approach. Do you buy in? Are you willing to champion it as the Oversight Committee on our behalf as the department? So I think that's the kind of support that we will be looking for the committee. But we would like to come and test some of these things in terms of the revocation of the licenses, etc. And we have done that, but we need to maybe do it more often. And then we will start to have a deterrent effect. And it needs to also be put in the public domain that we are doing it. So I think these are the kind of things that we will come back and to the committee later and bring an updated report and the latest developments on this work that we are doing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Any further comments?
Chairperson, could we get a time frame on the issue of maybe withdrawing the license? Could we get it? It won't help us bringing it later in the year. Then we lose another 6 months where you could have acted. So I want the time frame when we will see such a report before the
portfolio committee.
Dr. Andrew.
Thank you, Chairperson. And just as an addition to that, and I don't want to preempt, obviously, the report, but if you have a revocation of licensing, who's going to pick up the capacity then to deliver the service?
Okay.
Yeah, just to respond, so I'm saying that the team will go back today. And from today until probably March or until the end of February, we will put together an action plan and a kind of process that we want to follow. And then we will bring that we'll run it by the political leadership and we'll bring it to the committee probably by March. I don't know, the committee program is quite busy. We are coming back the whole of February and March to deal with annual reports of the water boards, etc. So we can look at a date where we come probably maybe toward the third week of March, where we come back with such a report and action plan. Thank you, Jefferson.
Maybe this issue will also form part of the municipality's capacities. The 10% expected of each municipal budget having to go towards maintenance. And the implementation of such becomes very critical in response to a number of questions raised. What we do see and hear is that there is no compliance to that. If this could be a matter that is dealt with along the same line. Okay, Madam, you wanted to say something?
No, I'm
you covered. Okay, any further questions or comments? We seem to have moved with speed to finish earlier. We were targeted that we shall be here until 12. And part of what we also prepared was lunch for all of us here. And that lunch was also scheduled for 12:30. Mrs. Kekana is going to guide us. Going forward.
No, Chair. I moved to the department to speed up this.
Okay, we accept end of February time frame, Mr. Basson, that you spoke about, and also what Dr. Heinrich has also made reference to. Also linked to that, obviously this shall take so much of that integration or interacting with the COCTA. And also, this is also a matter that resides within the political principles. I can safely say that it's quite an urgent matter. I can safely say also that the fact that these municipalities are not moving, the point raised by some members here, also having to make sure that there is a compliance. There are consequences. Okay, we are to be expected back here again, we are to be expected to go on an oversight visit next week. In other words, we had scheduled that we shall pursue what we call this study tour, but unfortunately, I don't know for how many times We had scheduled that we shall pursue either Argentina and or Brazil, but they are not back in Parliament during this time. So that's the response that we got. Because also the intention was to interact with them, going to visit other points where we wanted to visit. So we are in that situation. As a result, we'd replace that with the oversight visit, which is next week. And then also with regards to the Lesotho Highland Water Project, as part of our oversight visit, we're scheduled that for end of, I think, the third week of March. Because also they themselves in Lesotho are not back in Parliament during this time, because we thought we would do it next week. So they are back only in March, so we were informed. So for that reason, therefore, that we then have to make a follow-up on the Gatleng dam situation, that is for next week. And also we had a petition by Tzaneen communities. After Gatleng, we shall then have to move towards Tzaneen, and also expect, instead of going to Nandoni communities, they come to us, and the department having to assist us in really getting to lay to rest that situation in Nandoni. There you're dealing with issues related to housing, and also there you're dealing with the issue of the actual project itself that is now at Nandoni. Members here in this committee meeting have been making calls that, you know, come to my constituency, come to my constituency. There are issues. After that, we had acceded to do that by scheduling for Mpumalanga. One of the issues that we spoke about in this committee was a matter of the old 1956 Water Act and the riparian rights associated with such. While the department is saying that that legislation has since been repealed altogether, the reality is that in practice those riparian rights are still ongoing. The small-scale farmers in the Mpumalanga area are experiencing such, where in the case we are hearing is that of a farmer that bought a land piece of land under the land reform programs, does not have water, and the water is being withheld by the previous owner of the farm. So there are such experiences out there. So those are some of the things that we shall have to be looking into. That is now in Mpumalanga. And that program shall go on until the 3rd of February, which is on a Friday. And then the following week, it is SONA. We're having two specific items as part of that SONA as the committee. The department having to do a download on the relevance of SONA insofar as its work is concerned. We get a briefing on that, but before we do that, we get an economist who shall come before us, who shall unpack the economics related to water and sanitation out of the SONA. So that's and then of course after that we shall be having that program is to be distributed and for us to adopt, but that is a draft program. We're intending to adopt that program next week when we meet in our oversight work. I am doing this so as to buy time. Just to be very blunt about it. Lunch is served at 12, so that we don't have any fruitless expenditure. Please join us for lunch. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
This is what we got. Obviously, we shall have to just have Alan to write a letter. That's horrible.